Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for meditation this morning comes from 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning at the 17th verse. Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick, and his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" And he said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy on this woman with whom I lodge by killing her son?" And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him." Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Life's not fair. While some are born to feast, others spend their lives in the dark, begging for scraps. These are the words of the great theologian Scar from the 2019 remake of The Lion King. Maybe you've seen it. In one of the earlier scenes in this movie, it starts out with a mouse running around in the savanna looking for food. It's bright, colorful. There's a warm glow to it. And the mouse eventually finds some food, and as he's nibbling on it, the camera shows behind it big yellow eyes coming out of a dark cave. And Scar kind of grabs that mouse and toys around with it a little bit. Scar appears having power over something so small and helpless as a mouse. Well, just like that mouse, sometimes we may be tempted to think that God is just toying with us, that he gives us successes just to bring us down. And when we're faced with something out of our control, it's at that time that he's just messing around with us. But we know that even if it seems like our world is crumbling down around us, even if we're confronted with something like the reality of death, God is entirely for us, orchestrating everything for our good, because he is the source of life. So this morning, let us consider the theme, Life's Not Fair, part one being the reality of death, part two, the source of life. The background to this text is that this widow welcomed Elijah into her home. He came to her during a drought, and the Lord had commanded this widow to provide for him. There was no water or food for either of them. And when Elijah came to her, he asked her for some water and food, and she said she was just picking up some sticks to go make a fire, make a little bit of bread for her and her son and die. But Elijah said, "Give me some food first," with the promise that that food would never run out, would not run out until the famine ended at least. And she believed. You know, the bin of flour did not run dry, and the jar of oil, it also did not run dry. They had enough food, and it looked like there was some light for this widow. It looked like they were going to be okay. But then Some days later, her son got sick, and that's where our text picks up. Verse 17, after these things, the son of the woman became sick, and his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. No soul, no life. It didn't matter that they had enough bread. It didn't matter that they had enough oil. It seemed like the God of Israel had abandoned her. Death can do that to a person. You know, when my grandma on my dad's side died, I saw a little glimpse of what death can do to a person. You know, she was a lively person, by all accounts, very kind and energetic. She never smoked or drank, and so it came as a big shock and surprise when she was diagnosed with cancer of the mouth and throat and died. My dad felt like his world had fallen out from under him. It felt like things shouldn't have happened this way. It felt like life wasn't fair. In the same way, this widow's world came falling out from under her. When her son died, she hadn't done anything wrong. She had actually listened to the Lord and obeyed him when he told her to provide for Elijah. You know, in the past, sometimes God had sent sicknesses and diseases on his people in order to bring them to repentance, you know, swallowed up people in the ground. But that wasn't the point here. Even Elijah was confused as to why God would, in his own words, bring tragedy on this widow by killing her son. Well, friends, God allowed this death to happen, not to show how mean he is, but how kind he is. When Elijah came to this widow of Zarephath, he gave them the promise of food to keep them going. That in itself wasn't fair. Where was all the food for the rest of the widows? God was gracious. He singled out this widow and said, "I will have mercy on you." She recognized how undeserving she was. She knew that even though she had received this kindness from God, she didn't deserve it. The widow said, "Have you come to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" This widow knew that sin, her sin, was the source of death. We brought death into this world, not God. Think about it. If life really was fair, what would you get? I'm going to ask for a little bit of participation from you guys here. Let's imagine that you have a watch. And on that watch is the amount of time you have left on this earth. How much time do you have left? 60 years? Maybe less? What's going to happen when it runs out, when it reaches zero? You're going to meet God. You're going to meet a God who allows no sin to go unpunished, a fair and just God who cannot dwell with any sin. So how are you going to explain any time you did something wrong? Every time that you had one thought that wasn't good, or any word that you spoke that broke down another person? What will you say? You see, if we're honest with ourselves, we don't really want life to be fair. We want life to be gracious. And our God is gracious. It wasn't fair that God brought this widow's son back to life. Actually, it was gracious. And God allowed her to go through all the lows and the highs she had been through in order to show her, as our text says, that the word of the Lord is the truth. We have the trustworthy word of God. And that shows us just how gracious God has been to us through his son, Christ, Jesus Christ. God has been extremely gracious to us through Christ. You know, it wasn't fair that Christ had to take on human flesh. It wasn't fair that Jesus bore the sins of all time. It wasn't fair that God the Father gave his only Son so that whoever believes in him should not perish. Jesus became just like us in every way. And we hear in the Gospels of times when he was tempted, times when he was hungry, but he lived the life that we could not, a perfect life, characterized by a life without sin. He was the only one that truly deserved to live. But instead, he endured death in order to suffer the punishment that we rightly deserve. On the cross, he experienced the weight of all the sins of the world. He experienced the pain of his Father turning his face from him, and he did it for you. Instead of the life that he deserved, he experienced the death we deserved in order to give you life. And 3 days after that, after being put to death on a cross, he rose from the dead. And that's what we're celebrating in this Easter season, the resurrection of Christ, where he showed that he crushed death to remove its power over all of those who are in him. Christ took the sting of death and completely removed its power, like a bee without a stinger. Why are people afraid of bees? It's because they sting. Without their stinger, they're just another pollinator. He took that sting so that all can look at death as they pass by it and say, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O grave, is your sting?" So that those who are in Christ experience new life in the here and now. Now we are united in his resurrection by his powerful word of truth in baptism, and experience the joys of living life in the footsteps of Jesus. Take another look at that watch. You misread it. It says eternity. Jesus says that whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So that even though you will die, in Christ you will live. And you have that eternal life right now. God has been so gracious to us in Christ. And that's a great comfort. Now we can say with the widow of Zarephath, "God, I know that you are in control and that your word is trustworthy, even when it feels like life's not fair." If he took care of the biggest problem that confronts us, death itself, won't he walk with you in every struggle that you face today? So that when a friend comes to your dorm room and says, "I did this terrible thing," you can tell him that God is with you. Jesus is walking with you through this. We can be reminded that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Each one of us has a way to share that comfort and that love that Jesus showed to us in their own way. One of the ways that struck me is when I went to St. Paul here in Mankato, I had a friend who would say, whenever I asked him how he was doing, he would say, "Better than I deserve." I just thought that was a great example of using your words to show that, yeah, God has been gracious to us. You know, we don't deserve all the blessings that we have. Most of all, eternal life. Isn't it true that God treats us better than we deserve? We have the example of the widow of Zarephath. We have the Word of God that reassures us whenever we're discomforted, whenever we feel like our world is crumbling down around us. The truth is, life's not fair. It's gracious. Pray with me, please. Would you please rise? Sorry, for prayer. Holy Father, we thank you for not treating us as our sins deserve. We know that we would deserve death if you were fair with us. And Father, there are people here today, or people that we know in our lives, that feel like their world is crumbling down around them. I ask that you would guide them back to the solid ground of your great and precious promises. And whenever we feel like our world is crumbling down around us, to be reminded of the great comfort that we have in you, of the love you've shown in your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with the hymn.
Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.